Let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 15. You found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, it's a very short scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, the scripture says, thou shalt not steal. You shall not steal. Let's say it again. Thou shalt not steal. The third time, thou shalt not steal. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read. And he said to his disciples, from verse 1, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot beg, to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he says, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous, mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful, in that which is little, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Almighty God, we come unto you and pray that, mighty God, as we wait upon you, you will unveil the power of your truth in us, with us, through us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the victory and the glory and prosperity that comes through your word. We receive in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. Last Sunday, we dealt with the seventh commandment. And on Thursday, we had more or less like a seminar. So I was able to do a lot. But all that I covered so far, I believe, is what you need right now. And I didn't want to go outside the scope of the seventh commandment and go too much into detail. But Pastor Faith negotiated with me to come back to this series again and go deeper. So I'm trusting God that sometime in February, we shall come back to this again. But all that you need to move from where you are, Amash, give me a little volume. All that you need to move from where you are right now to your next level, I have taught it. So take it and start to apply it, so that when we get in February, by the grace of God, you'll have testimonies. And I can see that Minister Bell really digested the message. She chewed upon it very hard and swallowed it very well. Her consecration today was the longest she has ever done. and also very pointed.
Amen.
Amen. Very pointed. Very pointed. It reveals that she understood what was taught. Amen. And that's important for those of you who lead consecration. It's important for you to understand the message. It's not about what you are going to say. It's about how you have received it. That's the only way it becomes a blessing, when it comes out of your mouth. Most of the time, unfortunately, we are just trying to take to give. No. Let it work on your inside. Chew upon it. Let it become flesh. So your discourse to us will produce additional life. The hearer becomes edified. Amen. So chew hard upon it. Digest it. And become one with it. And then it becomes a greater blessing. Amen. Praise God. So God bless you for that, Minister Beryl. Clap to Jesus for her life. Amen. Praise God. You shall not steal. The essence of this commandment, I know almost everyone here will say, well, I'm not a thief. The essence of this commandment is about contentment. Say with me, contentment.
Contentment.
Contentment. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. If you find the book of Timothy, say amen.
Amen.
Very few amens. Timothy is very hidden in the New Testament. Read from verse 6 to verse 10 to get a definition of contentment. Let's go. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. The scripture says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment means that we must know the basics of life. As God's children, we must understand the basics of life and how to work and fight to operate within the basics of life. Say with me, basics of life.
Basics.
Basics. The Apostle Paul says, having food and raiment. Alright? Now, food is to keep the body in strength and for the development of your body parts. Raiment is covering. It goes beyond your clothes because you have to be in a home. Amen? A home covers you. You know with me that standing out there in the winter,
can be dangerous to you. You can catch pneumonia. So when he says food and raiment, he's talking about what sustains the body and what protects the body. Say with me, what sustains the body and what covers the body? What protects the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for a lot of people, they will not be satisfied until they have eaten a $250 burger in a sophisticated restaurant. I heard that somewhere in Manhattan they sell burgers for $250. And I scream within me, what is inside that burger? Do they put diamonds in the burger or gold in the burger that it should cost $250? But at the end of the day, for someone, if he hasn't eaten that $250 burger, he hasn't eaten. And that's an example of what the Apostle Paul is saying, crossing the line. So, someone might interpret that scripture wrongly, but the spirit of the scripture is to say, having the basics of life, what is good enough for your body, not necessarily what is flamboyant, but what keeps the body and the soul together in peace, what makes you restful, the basic necessities of life. He says, be content, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I want to explain that. He doesn't say money is the root of all evil. He says what? The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And he says, those who have chased after money wound themselves. They pierce themselves. They hurt themselves. And eventually, they lose their faith. You cannot have a disposition towards money that is unlimited. You cannot have a disposition, an affection for money that is unlimited. You must understand the purpose of money. Money is simply a medium of exchange. And the Apostle Paul says, godliness with contentment. There must be barriers to your appetite for money. Now, I want you to know that God has promised to bless us with silver and gold in abundance. He has what? Promised. He has what? Promised. So it is not an evil thing. It is not a wrong thing for God to bless us. So when God blesses you with a $1 million, don't go throw it away. Are you hearing me? Don't go throw it away and say, oh, godliness with contentment. Today, I'm going to try to explain as much as is within our power. If I can't finish, I continue on Thursday. But I try to explain what the eighth commandment is all about. Like I said, each commandment keys us into a whole world of scriptures. Godliness with contentment. We see in the story of the unjust steward, he was the chief executive officer. He was the manager. He was put in charge of an estate, of a business. In Luke chapter 16, and the Bible says that a report came to the owner of the business that your CEO is wasting the company's resources. It's mismanaging. When he heard it, he called his manager. So notice that there is an owner of the business, but he hires a manager, a CEO, to run the estate. And he hears a report, and so he summons the CEO, and he says, "What is this that I hear of you? Give an account of your stewardship." Tell somebody beside you, give an account of your stewardship. How do you feel when you heard that? Your stomach churns. Your stomach churns. You get a letter from the IRS. Your stomach churns. You start to shake. Even before you open the letter. Because they're asking you to give what? An account. Because as a manager of your estate or finances, you naturally give an account. So if the owner now comes to you and says, give an account, then you know that there is trouble brewing in the pot. There is trouble. Share with me a time of reckoning. A time of reckoning. Okay. So, the Bible says that the unjust steward realized that it was a time of reckoning. Things could go either ways. Now, he knew that he was in trouble. He said a couple of things. He says, I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. What shall I do? Now, there are four faces in a man's life. Four faces. The first face is called the digging face. Say with me, the digging face. The digging face. And then the next is, sorry. The first face is the begging face. Say with me, begging face. Begging face. Begging. And the second is the digging. Now, Jesus mentioned the other two faces. He says, riches and true riches, which is called wealth. So, these are the four faces. It's on your screen. Begging, digging, riches, and wealth. And in life, we progress from the begging phase to the digging phase, and from the digging phase to the face of riches, and from the face of riches to the face of wealth. In life, we all make that progression. At this point in time, the unjust steward was at the point of riches. And it was a day of reckoning. And so he realized quickly that the odds are against him. I'm going to either go down to digging or to begging. Amen. To digging or to begging. And he said, I'm going to think of how to change this situation. Now hold that thought. Let me start to explain what the realm of begging is about. And I hope you listen to this very carefully, not just for yourselves, but also for your children. Pay attention to what I'm going to say and make sure this works with your children. The begging phase of our lives is the phase of dependency. Say with me, dependency. Dependency. As a little kid, your parents put food on your table. They put clothes on your back. Everything you receive, mommy, I want food. Mommy, I want clothes. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want that. So as a young child, you depend on others to provide your needs. Now, if you give your kid anything, you must demand the thank you. You must what? You must demand it. That's how it starts. Then number two, after giving your kid food, he must learn to wash his plate. It is a war that if you don't win that war, you are breeding a thief. You are breeding a what? A thief. Sometimes we don't know where these things start from. Summon that child back. Where is the thank you? Are you listening to me? It's the begging phase of life. And one of the things that we are not, I mean, our parents don't emphasize, is that we appreciate what we're given. And your children doing their chores is also a sign of appreciation, a token of what? Appreciation. So it is a must that your children must have responsibilities. Otherwise, you are breeding a what? A thief. They must have what? Chores. They must have responsibilities. Now, this is the ugly part. Most of us who receive welfare from the state, we must give back to the state. We must do some community service. We must volunteer. It's important. You must always learn to give back. Now, if the people in our community had been raised to give back, to be grateful for what they receive, I tell you, there will be no space for us. Our worry will be, where do we find the next chair for people waiting outside to appreciate God? The air you breathe in, it looks like it is free. But God needs to be appreciated. The air you breathe, the health you are enjoying, it looks like free. Get sick. And then you know the value of your health. And many people do not know the value of their health and their life. And so they take it for granted. Today after service, we're going to do evangelism in this community. Hallelujah. Because God told me this morning that we should go out on the streets. There are a lot of people who don't know the value of life. The value of their lives. Simple. Have you said thank you for the air that you breathe? Have you said thank you for the fact that you have health? Have you you know what's terrible about sickness? For me, is appetite. lose your appetite, when you lose your sense of good feeling. So there are a lot of thieves out there who are taking what God has blessed us with for granted. And somebody must knock that door of their conscience to tell them that, have you thanked God this morning? Hallelujah. So many of us fail the begging phase of life. Many of us take a lot of things that we receive in life for granted. Thank you to God means that you have come this morning to praise Him, to adore Him, to give Him glory, to give Him adoration. He deserves it. He spoke and you became a living being. His breath of life keeps your heart beating. There is nobody in this room or at the sound of my voice who will appreciate being in a coffin. It doesn't matter even if the service is about you. And we are all eulogizing you. Keep your eulogy and let me leave. Are you listening to me? Keep your praises. Just let me leave. Get me out of this casket. I don't care how well the funeral home has decorated me. Get me out of this casket. David says that if I am dead, I will not be able to praise you. The dead cannot praise God. Amen. So begging face. A lot of us fail the begging face. Fail to give back, to appreciate God. And when you fail the begging face, you remain there. Because that's the last face. The next phase of life is the phase called the digging phase. After your children, have been provided for, they've gone to school, they've gotten an education. The first place where people start to work is always hard work. Like serving in McDonald's, KFC, or some retail job. Amen. It's hard work. Because you don't need any qualification to work in McDonald's. You could be a PhD student. You could be a PhD graduate. They don't hire you pay your degree. They hire you just like they hire a 15-year-old person. It's a matter of take this here and put it there. Take this here and put it there. Amen. They will train you. Even if you're a PhD, if you want to work in McDonald's, they will train you. And it's hard work. You stand on your feet all day. Say with me, digging face. Because you are not hired as a professional. You're just hired as a labor hand. That is the second phase of life. Say with me, hard work. During the time that you do hard work, you're supposed to be pursuing a career. You're supposed to be what? Pursuing a career. To develop your skills so that you can become a professional. Because that is the only way that you move to the next level. Please don't work at McDonald's till retirement. Are you hearing me? Don't be so content with that paycheck. You are only there for a season. You are there because you are in progress. There are a lot of people who are PhD and work in McDonald's just to build work experience. Just build your work experience. Working as a teller, retail, just build what? Experience, so that you can write on your resume, at least I worked in McDonald's for 5 years, but don't work in McDonald's for 10 years. Did you hear me? Don't do manual labor, hard labor. Whilst you're in the digging phase, upgrade yourself. Get a career. Get some training. Because your next phase is called the phase of skill, riches. Nobody will pay you above a certain level. Even in construction, nobody will pay you above a certain level. You need to get some professional skill for you to become somebody, to come into managerial level. Hallelujah. To become a steward. Amen. To be put in charge, because you have been schooled. You have been trained. That was the level of the unjust steward. He was at the phase of life where we call skill and riches. But he had become content with that phase. But that's not the plan of God for you, to get stuck even in the realm of riches. At that level where you are using your skill, your degree, to work in a job, they're going to pay you your real worth as a human being. They're going to pay you based on your anointing. They're going to pay you a good paycheck. Now, you cannot save when you are in the digging phase. You can't. You can only pay school fees. Your savings will not amount to anything from the $350 a week paycheck. How much can you save? Not much. So even after 20 years, your savings is still meager. So you don't save there. Take that money and pay your school fees. Pay for training. Get out of that phase. Come to the phase of riches. The phase of riches, now you are earning a good paycheck. 80,000, 100,000, 120, 150. Professionals are paid in that range. When you start to earn that money, then savings start. Don't budget for all of that $80,000. Don't budget to spend all of that $80,000. Your last level of paycheck was $20,000, $24,000 per annum. And now you have received, after getting that job, you have a quadruple jump in income. Yeah, people are expecting you. But don't tell people you just got a professional job. Don't tell your relatives. Hide. Pretend as if you are still in your old job. And start to build up your what? Your savings. This is where you build up what? Savings. Because now you are earning more. You see, at the face of begging and digging, you are only surviving with the basic necessities of life. But when you come into skill, your money is significant. But your appetite must not become significant. Amen. You might make your life a little bit more comfortable. But don't, 80,000, so I can stay in a house with, because I have X amount of money. No, don't Economics will say, let your disposable income remain small in your mind. Basics. Stay with the basic necessities. That's what's called what? Contentment. 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 Hallelujah. Now this is important. I'm telling you what Jesus taught, so that you can save. Now the problem of the unjust servant was that he never saved. And he was living large, because he was in charge of wheat, oil, he was in charge of wine, he was in charge of all these commodities, and he was just living large. If you see his lunchtime meal, you are like, hey, this is the living of a king. So he was living in another realm. He was living in the realm of bread, when he was supposed to be what? Saving. So time out came. There was time out to every level. Say with me, there is time out to every level. It was time out. It was time out. And God comes to judge every one of us when it's time out and you have to move to your next level. He saw that with the tone with which his boss asked him for a reckoning, he was in danger. And he said, now, I bet he was three times my size. I bet his pot belly was three times mine. I bet his movement was very slow. So he says to himself, he says, begging, I am ashamed. After being chief executive officer for 10 years, and they want to demote you, you're not going to have a job, you're going to lose your job, then now you have to go to relatives. Say, give me a handout here, give me a handout there, give me a handout there. He says, I am what? I am ashamed. To dig, I cannot. Hey, look at me. I can't do a hard work. Can't go back to McDonald's to work, even if I want to work. So he says, this is what I am going to do. I'm not going to teach that today. The sun is very hot and we are very sweaty in here. I'm going to continue on Thursday. But he decided to quickly fix his mistakes. To quickly what? Fix. To fix his mistakes. I have a prophetic word for you. You may rise. Just say, thank you, Jesus. You are at a point in your life where God is reckoning your estate. God is reckoning. God is reckoning. God is reckoning. Lift up your hands into heaven. Thank you. Lord, bring her wisdom. Ooh. 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 Thank you for favor. In Jesus' name. Everyone who wants God to grant you the favor of of the time of reckoning, just keep those hands up and I'll come to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fresh oil, wisdom, favor to administer their estate. In Jesus' name. Thank you for resolutions. Natushte, nelebeta, retulaste, shinameka, yeta, 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 yeta. Thank you. 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 I have a word for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rise up. I hate the word, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is how we resist the devil. Every activity in your life is illegal. It's illegal. Are you listening to me? An illegal activity means that you must exert your authority. You're going to exert your authority like Jesus taught in Mark chapter 11. He says that, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall not doubt, and shall not doubt, and shall not doubt. Every morning declare God's covenant concerning your life. Jesus Christ did the work. Isaiah 53. Say it over and over and over and over. He says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. That's a good word. Resist the devil. You resist the devil by your authority. It's a commonwealth blessing that Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed. Resist the devil. Talk to him. Talk to the infirmity. Talk to him. Go to the abyss. Be chained and bound until your judgment day. Lord, we fortify your authority and we release grace to resist the enemy. We rebuild doubt in their mind, doubt in their heart. We resist the devil with her. We stand with her in opposition to the works of darkness. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, favor. Favor to manage unfavor. Favor to manage unfavor in Jesus' name. Amen. This man changed his condition. And instead of dropping down, he moved up. The great thing about God is that when the season comes, because you read the story and the Bible says the Lord commended the unjust steward. Hey. So some people look at that story in the negative. But it was a time of reckoning. So the Bible says the Lord commended the unjust steward because he took some strategic decisions. Most of the time, we allow ourselves to be beat down when that season comes. And on Thursday, I'll go more deeper into this to explain how he spooned time to his favor. Rise up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I want us to go. When we finish, we're going to go out. And there is a shelter across the road here. Most of the time they sit outside. They hide under canopies all around the shelter, through the gas station and the grocery stores around. And today is our mandate. God said we should go out there. And he pointed there to me. He pointed there to me. So we are going to go out right after the service. And We're going to witness. I don't say, just say, come to church. No. Witness Christ. A lot of people are there because they mismanaged the begging phase of their lives. I don't say all of them. Some people, because they mismanaged the digging phase of their lives. Some of us in our lives, we've been demoted because we failed to do the right thing at a certain point in our lives. And seasons come and others are promoted, but we are still stuck because we failed to do the right thing. God comes for a reckoning with everybody. Recently, I had a reckoning with God. And I was surprised at some of the numbers that he threw at me. I was surprised that he knows every pin about my life. He knows what I myself have not put my mind to. He knows how much I eat. He knows how much I drink. We all come into that time of reckoning. And sometimes we fail. But doing the right thing is what matters. Doing the right thing. It's not about God. That unjust steward was about to lose his job, but he rather moved up. A thief. A squanderer. But he did the right thing. Lift up your hand into heaven and say, God, I thank you for your word to me today. That there is something I can do to fix my mistakes. There is something I can do to catch up. There is something I can do to become just in your eyes. Reveal yourself to me. Unveil your goodness so I can experience the harvest of this season. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom to manage my circumstance to your glory. In Jesus' name, give God a big clap offering.